It's a big new year, and getting us going is the business end of the Betway SA20. To catch up on what's been happening here and get you ready for the upcoming playoffs, SA's biggest cricket fan, Josh Margolis, joins Ben and Sandile on the couch. The highs, the lows, the dodgy throws. It's been a great few weeks of the tournament, and it's only going to get better from here. Plus, we have the ICC T20 World Cup to preview as well. So strap yourself in for episode 73 of the On The Bounce show. Let's get into it. Alrighty, welcome back. We are in studio after what feels like a slight eternity.
Eternity, big one.
It's quite a long time. We finished last year, of course, in Cape Town with all the captains of the Betway SA20. Really, really great show if you haven't gone into that. But this is a new year. And with that, Sandile, we have an old face. Or a new, an old... Josh, let's just not go old and new. Josh Margolis is back, SA's biggest cricket fan. My favorite cricket conversation in this whole wide world. Josh, how's it going?
How's it, gents? Good to be back. Yeah, last time we were here, South Africa won a World Test Championship final.
So yeah, good luck, charm, but
good omens, hopefully, yes. Us having these conversations.
But what are you being a good omen for? JSK making the playoffs, winning? What's your vibe?
My head's in the T20 World Cup.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll take that vibe.
Okay. Well, yeah, good point, because today's show obviously is catching up all things Betway SA20 as we go into the playoffs now, which is going to be hugely exciting. But then also the throw forward to the ICC T20 World Cup, as the voiceover guy said. 6th of February, that's kicking off. When you get to that towards the end of the show, Flex, you mind just bringing up the screen there just to kind of break down how we're looking with that? So it's just like in the IPL, basically. We follow the same kind of format in that you get qualifier one, and then we get the eliminator match. So the first two teams play each other straight away. They'll be at Kingsmead. And then the third on the log take on the fourth on the log. And then the loser of qualifier one takes on the winner of the eliminator. And then we get their here final. Now, Shaz and I will be at the final next Sunday. So we'll get more into that in the show as well. So, yeah, just Flex, just run us through the other kind of slides there. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, I mean, I've had some people brazenly come up to me, either over online or in person, and say, Ben, can you organize this? Can you organize this tickets?
Yeah, welcome to the heavy life, bro.
It's like, bro, these tickets are in such demand. You got to buy them. You got to get them quick, okay? Yeah. So for the playoffs, absolutely no exception to that as well. 21st of Jan, 5:30. There'll be qualifier one at Kingsmead. So you can see the top two teams as they finish on the log. And then after that, Flex, we've got Friday, the 23rd of Jan. That will be the big qualifier two at the Bullring. There's a game between that one, Flex. Next slide there. There we go. Thursday, 22nd of Jan. That'll be at 3:30. And that is the eliminator match. So these are the matches you have to get your tickets for. Betway SA20. It's so simple. SA20.co.za. Get your tickets for these three big games. Because even if your team isn't in them, you're still going to see high quality action.
100%. No, I have to agree with that.
I mean, it's just been such high quality action. But we're going to kick off the show with some different kind of action. Of course, Shaz and I have been very involved in this tournament. And we've been talking about it for the last few years, which has been really great for us. But this year, this season, we got to work a little bit closer, as you know. And this last Saturday, we got to do something we both wanted to do for quite some time. We actually had on-field access. So we want to kind of show you what happens as a game sort of warms up, what happens at 2:30 once the gates open. And this is a little video that we put together showing the two of us in our absolute inner child fanboy
all of it.
Primes right here.
Don't judge my arm, please.
Yes, sir. One more.
The sun is out. That means the big guns are going to be out too for JSK versus MI Cape Town here today at the Betway SA20.
We're at the Bullring, the greatest cricket stadium in the world. We're here to show you around. The weather has finally held up, and let's have a good day and show you around this beautiful stadium.
Where's our cameraman?
No, this is your show now. Look at me go. Mojo, mojo. Mojo. Yeah. Look at the way that I walk. Look at the way that I talk. Everything I got on me, I bought. You gotta bring forth what you thought. I always know the words, not the name of the song. You gotta stick to your moves when you're moving along. I ain't going back and forth, no pinging a phone. I feel like a million and the feeling is strong.
Look at me go. Feeling cool like ice.
Feeling cool like ice.
One thing about me, you know.
Look at me go. Look at me, baby, I'm gone. Look at me go. Look at me.
Sorry guys, I'm having a bit of a groupie moment here. The cricket players are warming up, seeing Faf warm up.
Yeah, obviously we had so much hype going into this tournament because we had such a big build-up. But coming to the games, obviously today being on the pitch as well, you just get reminded how big this event is. It's been so much fun. I think if you walk around, if you walk outside, you see the crowds. There's such a mixed amount of people, but they're so excited to be here.
What a great SA20 it's been. I got to witness a super over the last time we're here at the Bullring, a full Bullring. So these are the moments that, you know, have been super awesome. Donovan Ferreira's run out. Yeah, so we've had so many key moments and we're also just getting started. So yeah, that's a bit to SA20 so far. The way I'm running a race, they can never keep up with the pace. Nah. Watch your words, make you eat what you say. They can do it how I'm doing my thing. I make it look good when I step in. They freeze up, I'm refreshing. Look at here, get the message. Being great like I'm destined. Look at me go. Feeling cool like ice. Feeling cool like.
Chaz, look, we're not going to go after your arm.
Please.
So that wasn't your best effort.
I must admit, actually, a cricket ball is heavier than I actually thought, guys. And, you know, I was judged by so many players, but I did get one right. Unfortunately, it didn't make the cut, but it does exist. I threw it back, and they gave me a little bit of a clap. But it was super awesome, man.
So, Josh, I was filming other elements, like, quite near the square. And then, as you saw, Eric Simons had the ball thrown at him twice by this guy, Shorts. And then the third time, I hear this massive cheer. Eric, he gets it to Eric's glove, and he's like, yes, man.
Yeah, yeah, it was quite humbling. I really did think cricket. I've really got more respect for cricket players right now.
It's so cool, guys. I mean, I'm sure you can echo these thoughts. Like, everything about this tournament right now is just happy. Like, the guys who are involved in it are happy. Yeah. You see in the broadcast, the guys are happy to be working. Like, there's really cool chemistry. The content's so fun that's coming out that we're all engaging with on a day-to-day basis. And the crowds as well. I don't think I've seen SA live sporting crowds like that probably ever. I mean, when I was a kid, giving my age away here, it was back in Benson Hedges day-night cricket, whatever it was. And I'm sure that must have been a festival.
Yeah.
But in those days, it was different because your parents would just get hammered and just let you run feral.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's a bit more...
A bit more
sort of engaged. Josh, like, what are your feelings have been? I mean, obviously, you've been to a few games as well. Like, what's your sort of feeling just from a pure sort of vibe and cricketing aspect of, like, a live spectacle?
Just makes me so happy to see what's been happening. I think the product, the SA20 product, is just so, so cool. And as someone who's been a lifelong cricket lover, to see the crowds and just the vibe around all of it for cricket, you know, it's normally rugby that's celebrated in this way. So it's just been incredibly special. So shout out to everyone that's been involved.
Yeah, and I think from what we initially discussed last year is how are people going to accept this new culture of having T20 cricket in the festive season. People have embraced it. Even non-traditional cricket lovers have started to learn cricket. And I think the activities around the SA20 as well have been super great. And people actually backing their teams now. You're seeing like a strong support for regional teams. When we went to the Bullring, you saw all the flags go off. So you're now building up a real team energy and a real team support. So that's super cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, look, the haters will probably think that we're just doing one big massive tournament glaze here. But there is so much criticism within SA sports. There's always the naysayers, there's always the bitterness, there's the negativity. There's just some pessimism from some people. But I think, Shaz, when we started working focusing on the tournaments, we had sort of simple goals, is that we want fandom to back in cricket. There was a time in cricket where people wouldn't know who their local franchise is.
Exactly.
I mean, there was all kinds of name changes. But then CSA wasn't in the greatest space either. Mm. So then the Proteus tours would come and go. And I think they were just battling with identity. But on the basis of this, so much good comes from here.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all there for the Mzansi Super League.
Yeah.
Jersey Stars, shout out. Never forget.
Damn.
Paul Rocks, all that kind of stuff. But this is proper. And it's just so cool to see how fandom is now being put into cricket. Like you mentioned it, Josh. Like we only normally see this kind of stuff with Springboks. The fanaticism, guys really caring about the live experience.
Yeah.
It's so great. We get more of these kind of things.
Yeah, and I think it's going to roll over into people supporting the national team Proteas at a high, high level, especially in this format. That whole fandom of this format and people trying to back their players, players who we'll touch in a bit later, who made it, who didn't make it. But I think just for the, you know, the Proteas season and having a lot of local games, it's going to be super awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's always that sort of springboard kind of thing. You know, when you get to know the players more, you want to see them at the highest level. And then you're invested. You're completely invested. Final thing I want to touch on in this aspect is like just a reminder how great our grounds are.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
really are. Hey? Like when I went to the first game at Newlands, childhood nostalgia, all those kind of things come back. But also it's just one of the greatest places to have a beer. It was so great just to kind of be there. The weather wasn't amazing, but Cape Town's Cape Town. You take what you get.
I can't wait to finally go to that stadium, man.
Well, next weekend we shall be
sir.
There. Yeah, and then, you know, just a big shout out to the Supersport guys. You know, they are the best of the business for all these kind of things. Yeah. And I think what we're seeing from a live spectacle, watching on TV, has been really, really great. And it's just getting better and better, stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
But we now need to get into the actual crux of what's been happening.
Meat.
So, Josh, we'll start with you. Sorry, Flex, can you actually just bring up the log? So, I mean, obviously, at time of filming right now, we are Tuesday.
Capitals, so look at that.
This is going to change it a little bit. But, Josh, I mean, a couple of things that stand out just for me before I get to your thoughts there is that no team has really dominated at home. Last season, we saw MI Cape Town and Paul Royals being so dominant at home. They had these fortresses, which set them up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
But now, top of the log is suddenly Pretoria Capitals, but they've only won 4 out of their 8 games. They've had a no result and 3 losses. What kind of stands out for you when looking at these teams in this log right now?
It's completely unpredictable, and I think it speaks to how close these teams are. It's there's hardly been any one-sided games. I mean, there have been a few, but there've also been a ton of really close games and like completely unpredictable. I mean, who would have thought at this point in the tournament that the reigning champs would be sitting at the bottom of the table?
Right.
Who would have thought Durban Super Giants with their epic batting lineup, which is like world class, would be at second from the bottom? And at the moment, like no one's really run away with it. And at the same time, no one's completely out of it. I mean, a big bonus point win from MI Cape Town in maybe one or two of their next games and a couple other results, they could still make the playoffs. So completely unpredictable, which is what you actually want in a tournament like this.
Yeah, I mean, like probably the only negative so far, especially if you only look at any negative comments online, was that the rain, I think it was, what, 5 games?
Yeah, it was 6 of the 18.
So, I mean, look, that's just time of year. It's going to happen up country where we are counting in Durban. But there's been so many other huge positives. And I think, as you say, Josh, with it being so competitive like that, anything can happen. This log changes so quickly. It's like all the time. Shaz, do you think that we had a feeling around this, around the auction, or is it also a bit of a surprise how competitive it is?
I think, as Josh alluded to earlier, we initially just went for the big names. And it's kind of, and we'll get into it when we talk about the MVPs, but I'm really shocked MI Cape Town with their big retention that they've hardly made any noise. I think their struggles are quite unique. You know, they can't hold any partnerships, and that's the biggest issue that they've had throughout. Bowling attack, they seem to figure it out, but when it's time to build partnerships, they either go really great or they just plateau, like yesterday's game. You know, they were 55-6 at some point. So, and then you go to Joburg Super Kings where, you know, they have an opening partnership of about like 80, 90. You know, so they've got to try figure it out. Same thing I can say with Paul Royals. You know, they recorded the lowest score in the tournament history with 49 all out, which is insane. Which is insane. But then they figure it out as they go, and then you have somebody like, you know, they spin a, I forget the name.
Raza,
who is...
Sakanda Raza
is the best bowler.
Throwing those hand grenades from
Throwing hand grenades, he slows down the run rate, and he gives your team a chance. And then you've got Joburg Super Kings, who we wrote off. And let's be honest, we said,
Not so large.
I'll be honest. We wrote them off at the auction. They didn't really have a big auction. But now we've seen that clearly having a great auction and backing big names isn't the way to go. It's really about building team chemistry. And they really built through youth. And that's something that they, when we were at Captain's Day, they spoke about. And to see people like James Vince have great batting, Faf just making sure that we build a good partnership, and De Villiers as well, just making sure that he builds off of that. It's created a great chemistry, and then, you know, King Don just knocking it out the park. So really surprised at that. But, you know, Capitals coming back in, I didn't expect that, especially, you know, I had some hate watch on them. But shout out to them fighting for them. So those are my teams and the surprising nature of the question.
Yeah, look, I think every team, David Miller spoke about this in the Captain's Day thing as well, is that he wanted to retain as much as possible because that was the nature of their success. MI Cape Town did exactly what they wanted to do. They basically retained the team they wanted.
Yeah.
They went big in season 3 auction, so they spent the most money there. That was their time for change.
Yeah.
And then they said, look, they retained Rusty van der Dissen, Reza Hendricks. We want a top 3 based around Ryan Rickleton. Puran came in for Brevis as the like-for-like big hitter. Yeah. And then the bowling lineup was the same.
Yeah.
Rashid Khan is the captain, everything. But then
and
they
you keep
just...
Rashid Khan and Rabada, but you can't get into the top 4?
It's bizarre. But is this just it? Yeah. There's such fine lines in this, okay? And now this is another thing that I'm starting to get more of appreciation for the nuances of T20 and how these things actually play out. Yeah. There's such fine margins in this. I mean, Josh, like Pretoria Capitals, they're now top of the log. But a couple of drop catches against MI Cape Town, their last game was a very different story.
Yeah.
It's so fun to watch. If you're a cricketing purist who is still maybe not the biggest fan about the fact that these leagues pop up and the changes in players and all that kind of stuff, all the way through to someone who's watching for the first time, this can only be entertaining.
Yeah.
It really is. Flex, can we just have a look at some of the players? There's the MVP slide. So how the tournament works on the MVPs is that they assess bowling, batting, fielding performances throughout the different matches. So to give you a snapshot of like who the guys really are that have been superb this tournament, Rickleton's got the 2 centuries. Quinton de Kock started the tournament like a house on fire. And the weird dynamic there was, and we'll get into this in a bit, when the SA team squad was announced for the T20 World Cup, de Kock essentially replaced Rickleton. So
we need to unpack that later.
There's a subplot that's happening right there because Rickleton's kicked on, okay, he's got 2 big hundreds. He's now top in the MVP list. Shai Hope has got one century that propelled them to win against DSG, which I felt kind of like turned the tide for these Oaks. Shafan Rutherford's been amazing for Pretoria Capitals as well.
Yeah.
As there's your guy, Sikandar Raza.
Yes, sir.
He has now made that Paul's Royal side very, very dangerous. Devin Miller's been like glue for the Paul Royals. Rusty van der Dissen's been great up top for MI Cape Town. James Vince, I think he's striking at like 170 or something. He's averaging 55 with the bat in only the 3 matches he has played. And then Jordan Herman's been pretty solid. And for one of the big things for me in this tournament is it's the chance to bring a guy like Ulrich Nokia back.
Yeah,
major injuries.
Run, yeah.
But he is being dangerous as well. So those are your sort of like top 10 guys. Just from your perspective, Josh, like who else has really impressed you this tournament? Has really taken the chance to make this their platform?
So he's on that list, Rutherford from Pretoria Capitals. Yeah. I think he's a big reason that they're top of the table. He's got a fantastic international record too. He's a relatively new player to the scene, but he's been amazing. And it seems what's working nicely for Pretoria is the West Indians.
Yep.
It seems like they've pumped a few West Indians, Shea Hope and a couple others into that squad. And I think there's something that's working really well with that dynamic. What surprised me the most is if you look at a pure bowling lineup, if you look at Mumbai Indians, you've got Bolt, KG, Rashid Khan, George Lindy, and Corbin Bosch. You're going to struggle to find in any T20 cricket, international, in IPL, etc., a stronger unit than that.
Balanced as well.
And the fact that they just haven't got going is quite mind-blowing.
Well, I mean, their first 2 games were well over 200 runs, and the team was in the back foot purely from that bowling performance.
Yeah. A guy that's really impressed me from Paul is McQuenna.
Lovely bowling.
19 years old, when he was selected, I was like, wait, why are they picking a guy that's played three T20 games over, they had like big serious guys on the bench.
And this was after leaving Quinn Mapaka outside the off stump at the auction.
At the auction, yeah. So he's been really impressive. I think I saw a comment from Dale Steyn saying, watch this guy, he's got a massive future. 19 years old. At a point, after like his second game, he had more wickets in T20 cricket that were international players than non-international players. Small sample size, but I think he's definitely got something the more that I watch him. Yeah. Big fan of Raza. He just keeps churning it out, like 40 years old.
He's like the new Imranta here, basically. Yeah. He's overly flamboyant celebration antics.
In your face antics.
He's an older gent from Zim. But jeepers, his impact has been incredible.
Yeah.
You know that he's in the 11 wickets he's taken, right? Most in the tournament. He's done it at less than 5 and over.
It's unreal. Yeah. Special.
That's literally grabbing the game by the balls. If you can go for less than 8 in T20 cricket, it's exceptional. Less than 5.
Yeah. And it's been also very cool to see guys like Matthew de Villiers and Dion Forrester. So they're names that I'd heard, but I'd never actually seen play. Yeah. And it's actually awesome to be able to watch them. And Forrester had a great game the other day, 18 odd out of like 40 balls. I think de Villiers has some big, big talent. Yeah. So it's so cool to see these upper, like this is the future generation of Proteas that you're getting to watch from inception. It's really cool to see that too.
Yeah, and I think another person that we haven't quite mentioned yet is Ortniel Botman and how he started the tournament. Yeah. So when we looked at the poll rolls, okay, so you just said McQuena, Raza, Botman. Yeah. Botman was like a low-key signing because Sunrisers just kind of like left him.
So like the end, we were
there. And the real success has been the fact that bowling lineup is just doing so much. Yeah. I think batting wise, Herman hasn't come just right. Leandro Pretorius, he had that one big innings, he got 98. Yeah. Miller's been good, but they haven't been exceptional with the bat. But that bowling lineup has taken them through here.
Yeah, 100%. I wanted to actually add from the EC Sunrisers, Johnny Bairstow. I think that record-breaking over.
Just don't tell Maharaj.
that record-breaking over has been absolutely unreal.
34 runs.
34 runs off one over. But if you see consistently, he's been able to build a lot of partnerships. And it's probably something that's a big strategy in this SA20 is to give yourself the room to build a big score, is to run out a good partnership and then let the big hitter swing when it's time to basically do it. And Bairstow has been absolutely amazing for that. And I also like Gleeson from the Joburg Super Kings.
Cool.
Yeah, before he got smacked around in the one over, which is going to happen in T20 cricket, he has been absolutely sensational. Mm-hmm. A lot of key dot balls, a lot of good at the end bowling, which is actually absolutely needed in this type of format. So before that little wobble, Gleeson has been absolutely amazing for the Super Kings.
Yeah, look, we mentioned Anish Nokia as a great pace bowler who's come back. Gideon Peters is a guy that we might not know a huge amount about. Young, talented, Pretoria kid, came through, kind of got into the Proteas mix, but then got injured. But then, again, we use that DSG game where Lungi and Gidi got a hat-trick. Yeah. Peters as well went under the radar there, bowled so damn well. Yeah. And then against MI Cape Town at home, again, the guy's got huge amounts of pace. He's got that doggedness about him. Mm. He is a fantastic white ball fast bowler.
Love to see those guys that can crank it to 145, 150.
And they've been cranking it.
Yeah, it's so cool to see. Yeah. The difference between 140 and even 145, it's immense.
Yeah.
And you can see it. You can see the batsmen just have that split second less.
Yeah.
So Peters is a huge, huge talent. Very good to see. Good shout that.
And the one person I have to shout out to my stalwart, Faf du Plessis. He's actually had a great tournament. Mm. His numbers don't... they're not part of the MVP stuff, but you see that JSK follows how he acts. Mm-hmm. In the field, the intensity, when he gets all those catches, when he does all that great fielding, the team feeds off of that. His leadership has been absolutely insurmountable. And unfortunately, he got injured in the last game. And you could see it kind of affected how they performed
towards
the end.
Chasing however many, over 200 it was. The fact that Faf didn't come out, I just knew that was it.
Yeah, that was the end of the game. Yeah, that was a tough one.
But that's fine. I was at the Wanderers having a great time. I just carried on. My day went on.
And shout out to the spinners, bro. The spinners are the ones that are really doing the biggest effect in this tournament. Because
that's what T20 cricket's been. I think when T20 cricket first came onto the scene, everyone was like, get the fastest, most hardcore bowlers, fire yorkers, that kind of stuff.
Getting
spinners around. Spinners dictate success and failure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pace off is a huge thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking towards the sort of like more stalwarty kind of guys, I think it'd been pretty good. Josh, I mean, like you reminded me that like Lungi Ngidi is maybe some guy that's not so frilly, maybe doesn't do the biggest things, but here's a guy who just performs. You got the hat trick. Okay, fair enough. Some of the shots maybe not the most appealing, but a hat trick is a hat trick. He's bowled incredible amount of dot balls, which is a huge pressure builder in this in the form of the game. Yeah. And I think in that last game for Pretoria Capitals, he was that spearhead that just basically got everyone to bowl well around him. And Kikisa Rabada is carrying back here. Yeah? I wouldn't say he had a small injury to start the tournament. He isn't on the MVP list, as we said, Shaz, but the wickets that he is taking, he is humbling guys.
Yeah. He's putting the pace on that ball, man. Whoa. It's good to see him in that type of form, especially going into February. I think it's going to be much needed as well.
Look, we don't want to be too negative, but when you get winners, you get losers.
We've got to do it.
Look, Josh, you alluded to it on the log. Durban Super Giants, this is going to be the redemption year. That batting lineup alone, you know, you had Kane Williamson, Devin Conway at the start. They batted so well in that first game against MI Cape Town. Then you've got the likes of Josh Butler. You've got the likes of Henrik Claassen. You've got Aiden Markram. It is a strong team that should not be losing.
It's insane.
Henrik Claassen's biggest score so far is 29. Probably the biggest standout disappointment in my mind.
Yeah, I struggled.
I've got somebody else, but we'll get into that later.
But what do you think it is? I mean, Claassen, of course, he's retired from international T20 cricket, international cricket, right? He's a T20 specialist.
Yeah.
There's so much on this guy. He's the wild card pick. You know, there's the teams will break the bank for Oaks like this.
Yeah.
What do you think's happened there? I mean, you know, it's not like you can never blame the conditions. The guys know them all.
Yeah.
Claassen's plays spin incredibly well.
Yeah.
It's one of the hallmarks of his game.
Yeah.
And he's got power to basically go, I'm going to see the first 20 balls and then I'm going to punish you. Like, what's gone wrong, you reckon?
I reckon it's just a slight dip in form. I wouldn't write him off. You've got to be brave to bet against a guy like that in the long run. You know, he could in the next game score 100 or 40 balls and then parity is restored. I think it just hasn't gone his way. It sucks for Super Giants because I think they are relying a lot on him. He just hasn't come off. But having said that, I wouldn't look too deeply into it. I'll back him to come back strong.
Yeah, I think for me, what is outside of Claassen, I think in that team, I think they expected a lot more from Aiden Markram with the amount of money they spent, and we've got to call that out. He hasn't been able to build strong partnerships throughout the tournament, which is a bit of a problem when you spend $14 million on a player. And you know, that's the nature of where the tournament's going. When you spend on the big players,
sure,
we have to be able to criticize you at a high level as well. So they spent all that money on Aiden Markram. They're kind of looking at him and saying, if we make it to the playoffs, you've kind of got to show up now. And that's a fair criticism on him. He hasn't recorded any big scores. He hasn't led any big partnerships, which he needs to do so. And like I said, the tournament is growing into that hypercritical one where if you spend the money and the money is available, you expect big players to show up. And that is the big issue with the Super Giants, is that the big players haven't come up.
Well, I mean, that was the issue with the Pretoria Capitals, okay? All the hype on Devil Brevis in the beginning, and he didn't show up in those first few games.
Yeah.
And I think it was like, luckily, I think they bought smart, as you spoke about Rutherford as well.
Yeah.
That guy is a massive smasher of the ball, but he also has the maturity to put like some time at the crease to make a valuable 40 against Paul Rawls, which then went on to win the game.
Yeah.
So the Capitals are good enough for players around, but yeah, Brevis has been under expectation. I mean, like, the guy's trying hard, right? He's getting a lot of criticism because he's a 16.5 million rand guy. I mean, we even asked Keshav at the Captain's Day show, how do you captain a guy like that knowing there's going to be extra pressure on him? Do you give him special attention? Like, how is it going to work? Because it's a dynamic within a dynamic.
Yeah.
But the guy's putting his weight around. Like, he's incredible in the field. He really is. He's just doing everything he can to get back in there. And he is trying. He's made a couple of sketchy 30-40s. It's just actually testament to how good this guy really is.
Look, I'm going to be a bit harsher on Devil Brevis. I think, you know, the stats speak for himself. He hasn't faced more than 25 balls in his innings. He goes out very cheaply. Unfortunately, the 16 million rand thing is going to be a huge issue. He hasn't built any partnerships. I mean, there was a critical game, not yesterday's one, the game before, where they were in a situation where they dropped wickets and he was the main guy. And then he decided to be super aggressive.
That was the Paul Rawls game.
He decided to be super aggressive, dropped the wicket, and ultimately the middle order crashed.
I disagree. I think he was actually trying to be more circumspect, and that is something he's not too familiar with.
Yeah. So, but big issue is that he hasn't been able to see out a game. And that's something
time increase.
And that's something where when we get into the Proteus team is how are you going to deal with that increased pressure at that level when we need you to kind of build an innings in? And it's something that he needs to think about. He needs to be able to see out an innings. He needs to be able to know when to be aggressive, not when to be aggressive. And also what I also didn't like is how he's accepting the criticism. I think, you know, when you're in a bit of a hole as a player on a dip on form, you kind of have to accept the criticism. You are the highest paid player in the team. I mean, in the league, people are going to criticize you. I think a lot of former players said your inability to build partnerships is why your team's losing. And he took offense on that. Then he went out and said that he doesn't listen to former tennis players and or cricket players, former cricket players who talk about form, which I think is unnecessary swipe. I think you kind of have to accept that criticism at that level.
Josh, from a more technical side of things here, right? We all know Devriel Brewis is a big hitter, as in we expect him to go there and hit sixes in a flamboyant way, in like the AB 2.0 way.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of us, and again, Shazmi, I totally take all your points, just to add to it, not to play devil's advocate, but to add to it. This guy has been bred and hyped up to be the big guy, the big show, right?
Yeah.
And we're all very happy when he comes with his no-look sixes on the first, second, third ball, whatever. And everyone loves it. Everyone's there for it. But now he's getting criticized for when it doesn't happen, that he must be something else as well. I think because T20 cricket is such an incredibly elite sport, skill level-wise, this guy can only be so much, and he is still so young. And again, I'm not trying to like come to his rescue here, but I think when people expect something of you, then they criticize you for not being something else. Yeah. We also, as fans or kind of public, need to keep that in the balance. Josh, do you reckon that he's been coached maybe too much on the one side then? Do you think there's too much emphasis on him having to promote that one part of his game? Because we all know he can play all the shots. He can do different things, and he can apply himself.
Look, I think with a guy like Diervolt, he is a generational talent. Like, you can just see it. There's something about him that's just different from anyone else. So I think with guys like that, you do need to give them a slightly longer lead, or a longer leash. I think he hasn't done as badly as people may have made out, but he hasn't done as well. And I think the problem with him, it seems like they're targeting him with the short ball. I think there's murmurs that he's got maybe a technical weakness against the short ball. And I think the last three games, he's gone out to the short ball. And you can see it as he comes out, he used to just plonk on that front foot and try hit the first one for six. Now they're trying to get him with the short ball early on. So I'm not sure if there is a technical weakness there or if it's just a coincidence that the last three innings he's gone out to short balls.
Yeah.
I think with a guy like that, you just have to back the talent. My biggest criticism of him is that he'll often score 10 runs in the first two balls of the over, and you can just play low-risk quick cricket and get 14, 16 off that over without taking any chances. But he'll go for that extra six, and that's often what undoes him. When he's done the hard work, he can just play a little bit more risk-averse cricket. And, you know, I think if he can learn the right situations to do that. But at the same time, we're very harsh, because if he hits that ball for a six, we're all celebrating. At the same time, is the risk always worth the reward? Often he's got, you know, 16 off the first three balls. You don't need to go for a 30-run over, depending on the match situation, of course.
Yeah.
In those situations, maybe perhaps there is an opportunity to play less risk in the cricket. You've won the over. You've already won. Yeah. You know, don't give your wicket away then unnecessarily. But again, a guy like that, I think you just got to back the talent and he'll learn as he grows. He's still very young. And I mean, what he's accomplished already in RPL, even for CSK last year, he made 100 against Australia in Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, like I was alluding to earlier, it's just the nature of where the tournament is at is where we're going to be. Because there's now a lot of eyes on the tournament. So the biggest players are going to get the biggest criticism. So people are going to be less forgiving in terms of that nature. So I really hope it doesn't stunt his growth, because I've seen of late that so-called South African generational players tend to feel a lot of pressure when they go into the various formats, which we'll touch on when we go into the pro tiers. Is those guys feel a lot of things, and sometimes the light becomes too bright for them at the biggest stages. So I really hope it doesn't stunt his growth.
So guys, here's the last aspect I'll throw on Devriel Brewis where he is currently. You spoke about the fact that this Pretoria Capitals team has got this West Indian culture, right? Big swashbuckling guys. Mm. They go hard. They're playing the shots. Mm. Dilip Brevis doesn't, like, who in that Pretoria Capitals lineup is going to be the sort of mentor position, the senior guy he can maybe learn from, the senior guy he can maybe leverage from? In my Cape Town, he was so good. Why? Rusty van der Dussen, Ryan Rickleton, Reza Hendricks. There was almost like a, there was like a foil to his abilities that he could then maybe come down lower in the innings. Platforms were kind of set. Now he's like, Devolt, be the show, but also be the senior guy.
Be everything.
Be the middle order. Be the playmaker. Yeah. So, yeah, I look, people get things right, they get things wrong. Judge, your point about the short ball is right, because as soon as it gets thrown to him, he's going for it.
Yeah.
And really accomplished bowlers at the highest level here, like the Betways at 20, he will be found out. So I think Sourav Ganguly being the coach, Sean Pollock being the coach, I don't know how hands-on they are with his career right now, but the guy could get a couple of favors by just maybe having, you know, because Este is on top of the innings. They've got Cox as well. They've got Libba. I wouldn't say those are guys that are going to help Brevis's game mature and evolve. Yeah, Avery Villiers, when he came into the Proteas, same kind of player, really. Mm-hmm. But he had Smith, he had Umla, he had Cullis, he had Boucher. He had all these rocks around him. Mm-hmm. And Brevis, I think, will do well in the Proteas setup because of that very point. But he's the show for the Capitals.
Yeah, that's, I think that's the show. We initially talked about it at the auction, is that this is going to be a big test for him to be ultimately the biggest guy in this tournament. So, yeah, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, well, look, we spent the entire part of the show speaking about him more than anyone else. Another big disappointment for me, and it hurts me as a Weinberg boy to say this, but ever since Jason Smith was put into that Proteas squad, I mean, he's averaging like 11.
Yeah.
He scored a blistering 40-something in that first match, and looking then just, great. And then it looks like batting is not his thing. Yeah, you know, there's just, as they say, there's levels to these games, right? This guy, he's shown all the promise to get to a position where he's been picked for the Proteas.
Yeah.
He's been picked for the World Cup squad. Yeah. He's in a star-studded SA20 team.
Yeah.
Just hasn't kicked on. Your mate, Trevor, Trent Bolt.
Yeah.
Maybe a season too far on, like, where we expect him to be. He's going for runs at the top. He's not getting the swing he normally gets, not getting the wickets. Vian Mulder. Some really harsh JSK fans have actually used the quote, pay back the money. Not
sorry,
my words. Not my
that's
words.
Hilarious.
But yeah, averaging 11 with the bat, 3 wickets in the tournament.
Yeah, you know what?
Big money player again.
Crazy thing about Vian Mulder, he hasn't showed up with the bat. I mean, with the ball, we know what we're going to get. He will slow down the run rate. But with the bat, it's just been, it's been pretty average.
Quinton Mapaka, 3 wickets so far.
Not mad at it.
Look, he's definitely shown in places, and again, like we know, again, generational talent with the ball. I believe this. Mm. But then you look at Paul Royals with this other McQuena coming through, also of the 19 years varietal. There's so much competitive talent at the young ages here. Yeah. And again, like Quena, who could be developing and like working out his skills and abilities, suddenly everyone's criticizing him because there's competition with like-for-like players. Mm. It's a fascinating dynamic. I mean, it's a bit harsh. As I said, it's a bit harsh when we're trying to unpack who's been terrible in this tournament or be underperforming. But there's like, there's no time. There's no time to settle.
Do you reckon it's harsh when, and you know, it's something I've been thinking about, when the money is not there, it's not an issue. I think the issue is because of the amount teams are spending on these players. That's why the eyes are.
Look, it's a fair point, eh?
Yeah, that's why I think we've got to be able to look at it both sides where. You know, if it's a regular domestic format of T20, cool, we will be more forgiving. Now there's big money behind it, and they're considered one of big athletes, the same way we judge big athletes globally. If you've been paid that amount of money per week, or this is how much your contract's valued at, you kind of hope that, you know, your guy will perform at a high level all the time. It's not an unreal, you know, unrealistic expectation. I think we probably have to grow out of that as a supporting people of this bit there.
Again, it's a great topic because it's actually not, because that's what makes fans fans.
Yeah.
If we were all vanilla and considerate and and mild mannered, I don't think we'd be as fanatical. I think we'd miss a couple of games. I'd be like, I'm not going to go to this one. But the fact is, like, we're going to these games now. They've created a bit of a monster here. I mean, I was chatting to someone recently who said that at a DSG game in Durban, Keshav Maharaj was getting booed because he's now the Capitals captain.
Wow. See, I love that.
Like, it's like the fandom. This is what we've wanted for so many years. We've wanted heartbreaking, cutthroat fandom in cricket.
Yeah,
this is the byproduct, guys.
And I think, you know what it's going to, sorry, just to, I think what it's going to lead to is that it's going to be more, it's going to roll over into the Pro Tiers. Because what's awkward about where the Betway SA20 is and the selection and the World Cup is that in that MVP list, there are a lot of players that weren't picked up in the Pro Tiers team. Mm. So now we're like, but we've got this format where we need to back it. Mm. And these guys are showing it at a high level. But then you've got pretty average guys who are struggling, generational talents.
Okay, well, I think on that point, we need to talk.
Is that a good segue?
Amazing segue. We need to get into this T20 World Cup. So, Flex, you mind just bringing up that squad there? And I wanted to take this squad announcement image because it shows you which teams these guys play for in the Betway SA20. So, Josh, just to kind of run us through there, obviously, Malcolm's going to be the captain. Yeah. So, he's straight up. Kevin Bosch, you would pick him as the all-rounder. Devot Brevis, he's in the mix. He is the middle order go-to guy. Quinton Akok has come in at the expense of Ryan Rickleton.
Sure.
Tony DeZorzi is currently injured, might not go to the World Cup. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. Donovan Ferreira definitely earned his spot there. Mm. Marco Janssen, we love him. He's a great player. Again, one of the generational, genuine all-rounders. George Lindy, he had a great SA20 last year and then didn't go to the World Cup.
And he's having a great season again this year.
I'm happy he's there. Maharaj would obviously be in there, as is Quinton Mapaka. David Miller, you would expect. Lungi Ngidi is a stalwart along with Nokia. We just haven't seen Nokia for a while, but he's there. Rabada, you would go to any form. If there's a word cricket's involved, he's in your team. And then Jason Smith at the end there. Josh, standouts for you straight away. Is this the strongest team? If not, who and what needs to be discussed?
I don't believe it's the strongest squad available. So before we get into the nitty-gritties of the squad, just to take a step back. So since the previous T20 World Cup in 2024, I've got some mad stats for you guys, because it seems like the selectors have kind of seen the two-year periods in between World Cups as like, let's bring in the new guys, let's test it out. And it's always for the World Cup, for the next World Cup. It's like always you're building towards the next World Cup. South Africa's played 10 series since the previous T20 World Cup. Can you guys take a guess how many of those we've won?
Series.
Oh, wow.
Maybe three, four?
Three, yeah, four.
I would say four.
One.
We've won one.
It includes a drawn series against Ireland. It includes a lost series of one game against Namibia. I asked you if I could swear on the podcast, and the reason was to build up for this point, because that's it has been an absolute fuck show. Yeah. We've lost, by my calculation, 16 games. 19 games and won six. Since we've won six T20 internationals since the previous World Cup, during which time we have tested out 35 players in white ball cricket.
Yeah.
So crazy. Now, and it's a segue into the squad selection, because then, you know, the selectors justify 35 guys as, you know, we're experimenting, we're bringing in new talent, all for this World Cup. And then you look at the squad and you think, well, if we've experimented so much.
It's a stock standard.
Yeah, but like those the best that we've got? Yeah. When you've got, okay, so Tony, great player, love him. For me, not a T20 player, at least yet.
Sorry, just on that, is Tony being picked as a number three or an opener?
I'm not sure.
Basically just top
order. Yeah, it's one or three.
So I would then have another question, which I'm going to throw in here. Based on what prowess? I mean, has an IPL team picked him up?
No.
Okay, that to me is a red flag.
It is a red flag.
We know he's a handy cricketer. I love him as a test match player. Correct. I love him as a one-day player. I don't think I have the dynamics in my mind around him. I could be wrong for T20.
So there's a principle me and my friends talk about. We call it formatism. And a lot of people suffer from formatism. Mm-hmm. So when someone does really well in, let's say, test cricket, the public jumps and says, okay, he must play in ODI cricket or T20 cricket because of his form in test cricket. We're seeing it now also with Harmer a lot, where because he did so well in the test in India, now all of a sudden he must play every format. Yeah. And he should be given a chance, but besides the point. But there's a thing called formatism. I suspect that the selectors have suffered from formatism because Tony, again, love him as a test player and an ODI player. His T20 stats are not great in a general T20 cricket. Average of 19 at a strike rate of 119. Just by the way, we have another guy in the squad who has sorry, his average is 20 at a strike rate of 119. Okay. There's another guy in the squad whose average is 19, so one less than Tony, but his strike rate is 135. And his name is George Lindy. So your spinning all rounder has better batting stats than your, your number one or three.
Yeah.
Now, again, he's played two T20 internationals for South Africa ever. The last time he played was end of October against Pakistan when he actually made his debut in T20 cricket for South Africa. It's now going into February. He hasn't played a single game since because of injury.
But again, like I was asking, didn't have the T20 prowess stats at SA20. He's kind of been there, thereabouts for the Sunrisers, but he hasn't been like their best player.
Exactly.
He hasn't changed games. Like he hasn't really set the tournament alight. And this is the purpose of this tournament. It's like we are making Proteas greats here. So he hasn't ticked that box for me either.
Yeah, I think for me and just to allude what you're saying, is that I don't see the philosophy of what the selectors are actually going for now. You know, are we backing youth? Are we backing to people who are great at all formats? Because they kind of feel like there's a problem here. And you see it with the Betway SA20, where you have basically Ryan Rickleton, who we'll talk about, snubbed. Mm. We have Tristan Snubbs.
Tristan's been snubbed.
And he has got IPL, and he's got, you know, he's been okay-ish. Give him a chance at a young age, because he's also now a captain of a franchise.
25. He didn't have a great 2025.
Yeah.
I'll concede that.
Sure.
Yeah, and then Reza Hendricks, I think, should be in there. And looking at what Botman has done in the Bedway SA20.
Whoa, you're throwing a lot around here. Why is Reza Hendricks in there?
No, I just think I think in terms of the bowling, he's been good. I don't understand why Nokia is there. To be honest, he's been super injured for a long time. Does he deserve to be called up at this level do we understand? You alluded to it earlier. He's been injured for a very long time. And do you take an injury-prone player who hasn't been great at this format in terms of Betway SA20? Do you call him up for a World Cup?
No,
it kind of feels the merit hasn't been won there.
The point that it's the converse of what I was saying about Tony is that he's proven himself as a game winner in T20 cricket, IPL, SA20. And now he's come back and he's in good form. And he's had a proper run of games.
And
the thing is, selectors, I would imagine, have monitored this. It's no surprise now that he's played 4, 5, 6 competitive games now, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's an easier call for me.
So I'll tell you a mad stat about Nokia, why they can justify it.
Yep.
He's played in, I believe, two T20 World Cups.
That's two.
He's got, and there's a strong argument that he is in the all-time T20 World Cup team. He's South Africa's leading wicket taker in T20 World Cups, 35 wickets at a strike rate of, an average of something like 11, and economy of under 6. He's been South Africa's best player, and there's a strong argument that he's the first name on the team sheet. He's the GOAT in terms of T20 World Cups.
So, in terms of an orange shirt, and you're knocking
him. But the recent form, you think it's justifiable?
Like you say, he came back from injury, so we didn't see him for a long time. I think you got to back someone like that, and he's done well. I mean, wasn't he on your MVP list?
I mean, Rodri spent a year out of Man City. Did Man City then go, I'm not sure we can pick you again?
Look at Man City where they are now. They're fighting back, and that Rodri conversation. But for me, like I said, for me, it's where you run your philosophy. If you're losing the majority of your T20s, do you now change your philosophy and back youth, or do you kind of back what you think you know is good? And that's where I feel like the selectors haven't made a strong enough stance. Ryan Rickleton should be there. Agreed. Tristan Stubbs should be there. Yeah. One, even if they get knocked out, at least you've backed youth and you've given them a big enough platform.
Sorry, Flex, can you bring the slide back up there on the team just so we can keep cross-referencing here?
Yeah.
So look, I mean, I don't want to flog too much of this whole thing, okay? So I think we've addressed Tony DeZorzi there. Whether he comes back for the tournament, I know he's injured, so there's no form to play on.
That's the problem.
It's a massive problem, okay? So who would you then put in, Josh? If, let's just say Tony DeZorzi doesn't make it to the World Cup. Who is now guy you're going to put in?
It's the biggest no-brainer. It's Rickleton.
It has to be Rickleton.
Of course.
Okay.
Should have been there first.
Yeah, agreed. So it's I'm with you, Shaz. And like, I feel like the selectors need to take a lot more accountability here. So Moroni came in, and his whole reason for leaving Rickleton out, I read in an interview, is because, and he's not wrong in saying that Rickleton hasn't performed at the highest level in terms of the Proteas. And if you look in like 18 games, he hasn't shot the lights out. Yeah. But then he's selecting guys. D'Zorzi's played two T20 internationals.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's Jason Smith's also played two T20 internationals. Yeah. So why are you selecting guys when you've had these two-year period where 35 players have been tried? Why not give Smith and D'Zorzi the best chance of success in playing them more up to in the build-up to the World Cup? Why throw them straight in the deep end? Why were neither of them selected in the India series? Why weren't they in the fold? That was the last series basically before the World Cup. It makes no sense.
And I think it's something that we also need to talk about, and I've been wanting to discuss this with you, Josh, for a long time. Quinton de Kock retires. He comes back in and automatically gets a start. It is one of my biggest issues with the Proteas, where they don't know when to kind of cut off the line. I think you back a new wicket keeper. We've got enough batsmen that can play at a high level. And this is where the philosophy issue I have was with the Quinton de Kock selection. If you're going to now move into the next generation of cricketers, you kind of have to get rid of the old rod. And for me, Quinton de Kock is the issue that the Protea selectors generally have been having for World Cups in the past. You back Quinton de Kock, but he has retired. You can't tell me he's irreplaceable, because we've seen all the talent. I think if Quinton de Kock stays retired, Ryan Rickleton comes in and everybody else in a youth perspective jumps in. They kind of had this issue with Quinton de Kock, and I wanted to actually ask you where you feel about Quinton retiring and automatically getting in a spot as a Proteas.
Yeah, so it's a controversial issue. Yeah. I don't think it should be a case of Rickleton or de Kock. Yeah. I think it should be a case of Rickleton and de Kock, okay, because in my mind they are some of the top batsmen that we have. I've got a different opinion to a lot of the public here. A lot of the public see Quinton de Kock retire and they feel like he's been given this like privileged special treatment walking back into the side. When you've got someone of that caliber, if they say, I want to play for South Africa, you've got to actually put your pride aside and say, like, thank you, like, come play for South Africa. I like the way he did it, where you could see at the end of his career, pre-retirement, you could just see he like there was something missing. There was an energy missing from Quinny. I don't know if it was like that passion, that drive, that energy.
They forced captaincy on him.
There's a whole bunch of background drama. But towards the end, you could just see there wasn't that hunger that you're used to seeing from Quinny. And I think, you know, I would rather a situation where a player says, like, listen, guys, I'm going to stand back. I'm going to go fish for a year. I need to get my mind right. And he didn't say it as like, you know, pick me, or, you know, like, I can pick and choose. He said, I'll make life easier for you. I'm going to go fishing for 6 months, whatever it was. He's come back hungrier than we've seen him for a long, long time. His performances have been exceptional in both formats since he's come back. And he's rocking it in the SA20. Like, I just don't think that we should ever be in a situation where we're too proud to select someone like that, who is completely generational. Arguably our best T20 player. I mean, is there anyone else that's scored 10,000 plus T20 runs that's played RPL for a decade? So it is controversial, but at the same time, I actually respect what he did in a way, where he said, I'm retiring because give these other guys a chance. Then the criticism is, well, he's coming back and he's knocking someone out that deserves to be there, that, you know, is passionate about Proteas and hasn't, like, let the Proteas go. But my counter-argument to that is, if Quinny didn't retire, firstly, those players might not have been there in the first place, because his retirement's given them an opportunity. Yep. And if they were much better than Quinny, we wouldn't be having this conversation, because they would be selected anyway.
Exactly. And they would be absolute pillars to the team. Shaz, I think, like, to your point, what I like there is that It's a thankless and difficult job being a selector.
100%.
Because we can sit here with 30 names time, and we can justify them being in there. Mm-hmm. But I think where you're going with this, correct me if I'm wrong here, but we want to know that the selectors have a clear goal. Yeah. So just having some consistency, because over the long run, you can't get it completely right all the time, but at least have consistency. Mm-hmm. So Josh, I mean, like your point there, I think it's so prudent. Yes, Rickleton and Stubbs are two players that didn't play great. They haven't done well in the last year. That India tour did them no favors. Yeah. But we can't then judge them differently to someone who hasn't played like Tony or hasn't really had the experience. I mean, Smith did well in the local CSA T20 series for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But now that suddenly means more than Tristan Stubbs doing poorly at the highest level in India.
Yeah.
So again, it's a consistency factor. Like, this team is good. It's on its day. It's still up there to win the tournament. But there's a consistency and there's a spine here that's kind of missing. Mm. And I think, again, you would then ask the question, Shaz, going back to your thing about consistency and principles, should Quentin Mopaka be there if he's on the up and up, but yet you've got guys like Bartman, who I think right now is in great form. He's got a bit more to his career. And Mopaka will get many, many chances. I think Dale Steyn even mentioned it, is that this guy's got many, many chances to have.
He's got many years in front of him.
But is the priority of selection right now throw youngsters in the deep end to harden them?
To win.
Or is it to kind of have the best team that right now we feel is on form?
Yeah, and it's like Mopaka, he went to Australia for the T20 series there, became the youngest guy to ever get four wickets in a match in a T20 international at 19 years old against Australia in Australia, and they had a mad good batting lineup. Yes. Then he doesn't make the Pakistan tour. I'm like, what's going on here?
That was the back end of an injury, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't make the India tour. Okay, with the privilege of playing a five T20 series in India before the T20 World Cup is like you kind of want to pick your squad for that.
Yeah.
He wasn't selected for that. His form hasn't been great in.
And then you put him in the mix again. Now.
Yeah, it's just I feel like the selectors, why not select him for that India tour?
Yeah,
yeah, because now these guys have to. And when you don't perform at a World Cup, it's triple as bad as not performing any other games. Because now people are going to scrutinize you. And then that kind of sticks on a character. And this Jason Smith guy. I mean.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we probably all agree on is that we just want a clear philosophy on what CSA or the selectors are going for. If we're going to go back the youth, let's wholeheartedly back the youth moving forward. Let's go Tristan Stubbs, Rickleton, Quentin Mopaka, and the veterans. We'll see you another time.
Yeah.
Or else if you're going to mix and match, we're also going to be able to be in a position to say, we're going to Betway SA20. Look at the MVP list. Look at the young guys going through. We're able to criticize you at that level. And then the last thing I wanted to say on the selection, and it's going to be my biggest thing, is Aidan Markram, this is the time for you to show up. This is a huge tournament. Everything else is going to go around out the way. We've criticized the team, the selection. If you have a huge World Cup, everybody else around your team is protected. We want fielding intensity. We want people to catch the ball, throw it back, bowlers to have some fire in them. It starts with your leadership. And I think that's the one thing I really want to say, Aidan Markram. We don't want any gloomy stuff. We don't want him to hide behind the lights. We're going to be hypercritical. He's going to be the guy who's going to take a lot of this flack. So, Aidan Markram, this is a big tournament for you.
Tough show to be on Rishnu Kher, Aidan Markram, in the eyes of shows, huh?
Don't you think it would have been better? I get that there's timelines for squad announcements, but wouldn't it have made more
this
sense
the exact
to
point
wait?
I'm about to make.
Okay, sorry.
No, go
sorry,
carry on.
Yeah,
carry on.
Like, it would make so much more sense to wait until after the SA20, or at least... as long as possible. So you've got more data. You can see who's in form, who's not in form. Because
not
I think
two
it's really
games.
Important.
Because, I mean, the squad was selected on the 2nd of Jan, right?
Yeah.
Every team had what, played two games?
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, I mean, I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong here in the comments, but ICC have stipulations where you must submit a team X amount of days before the tournament.
Yeah.
But now, does Cricket South Africa have the ability to go, guys, here's our squad, but then treat it, not in the press, but treat it as a provisional squad. And then at the end of the Betway at 20, we go, okay, guys, look, it's very obvious. This circuit is on fire right now.
Yeah.
This guy has not performed.
Yeah.
He was a 50-50 pick with this guy.
Yes.
But we are going to back these Oaks now because I would love to know if they've got that wiggle room. Will it be frowned upon? Because on the back of this, I would sooner take a guy like maybe Evan Jones compared to Smith. Again, if we want to go like for like of upcoming players who maybe need to prove themselves, who aren't stalwarts, and if the selectors really have gone, Tristan Stubbs, you haven't shown me enough, you're not in the squad no matter what, and then Rickleton picks himself, it's fascinating. But this again ties back to our plan. It's like now we care so much more about cricket.
Yeah.
I haven't had a heated squad debate about a Proteas team in quite some time.
I want to be honest, this is the first time in a long time that
we've got more firepower here. It's just that we can't make this like a 7-hour show. Yeah. But I'm fired up about this because I want our Oaks going to that World Cup and to be able to sling whatever they want to all the other Oaks.
And we really want to win. I mean, coming off the test World Cup.
Guys, we lost that final, which was enough. We stole defeat from the clutch of victory.
Yeah. And I think
still hurts.
It still hurts.
And that's what we're saying. We're like, after the winning the Test World Cup final, we really like the spirit of winning, so we want to win at a high level.
And we have the players.
And we have the players, which is this Betway SA 20 year show.
So the World Cup is happening in India and Sri Lanka. From the 6th of February, there's going to be 20 teams, right? So there's 4 pools of 5. South Africa are in Pool D. So they've got SA, Afghanistan, Canada, New Zealand, and the UAE. 20 teams, guys. You know, Italy's playing in this tournament.
Yeah, the Canada one threw me off because that's our opening game, right?
Like, Nepal's in this thing.
We better win those games. That's all I was.
Italy. It's Oman is playing, isn't it? It's cosmopolitan, guys. Yeah. So, yeah, guys, the World Cup T20 is going to be here straight after the end of the so what? Next Sunday, SA20 finishes. That'll be the 25th. And then 6th of Feb. These guys are a little hard, huh? All right.
I heard there's a T20 series against West Indies before we leave. I don't know if that's true.
I saw something like that. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Are we going to experiment with some more players?
Oh, my goodness.
Make it 38 players.
But Josh, I mean, like, thanks for that. I mean, like, the fact that we've won one series out of the last 10, whatever
it's
it
terrible.
Is.
Terrible.
I almost feel sometimes that when we go into these tours, it's like we prioritize a couple of test matches, we play the ODIs, and then the T20s are kind of at the end. It's like, okay, well, Oaks are a bit knackered. Let's just try other people.
Yeah.
But your point was so spot on. When you get a 5 T20 series against India, you treat that as the World Cup.
Yeah.
There's your squad.
Yeah.
And then you might tinker towards the actual World Cup, but put that squad in there.
Yeah.
Those Oaks are going to be the ones now.
Yeah.
And if you feel strongly around a guy like Smith or feel strongly about Tony doing this, which you're entitled to, put him in there.
Yes, sir.
All right, so another great thing about going to all the SA20 matches that we've been having is that you get to meet so many other people who are doing really cool things in the content space too. So Rudy Page and John De Jong, they have the Behind the Ruck podcast. These guys have been all over the country. They've been working harder.
Now, shout out to them.
These Oaks have been putting up a big sweat, and Rudy, being the guy that he is engaged with all kinds of people. So I just want to get his thoughts on what he feels has been so great about the tournament so far as well.
It's a podcast of...
Well, I'm going to give T-shirt because they are excellent supporters of the Betway SA20.
Thank you. Hi guys, Rudy Page over here. Obviously, it's Betway SA20 season, and I think it just gets bigger and better. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how the SA20 deliver on this awesome product, but I love it. I've always been in love with cricket, and now getting to work and be at most of the games, truly special. And if you can see with the support coming out here, it's a product that is doing amazing. South Africans love it, and the cricket are obviously delivering at the moment. The team currently I backed this year in the beginning was Pretoria Capitals. I jump ship from the Sunrisers, which is uncharacteristic of me. I've gone with Pretoria. Obviously today they got a victory in Paul, which helps a lot in my predictions, saying that Pretoria will get this one. But I just thought Lungi, Keshav Maharaj, Devald Brevis, that they will play a big role, and I still back the team, even though the Sunrisers are flying currently. So, but for me, Rudy Pates, former rugby player, I'm going with Pretoria Capitals. Okay, guys.
Which begs the question, guys, if I were to ask you now, where we are going into the playoffs, who is going to win the tournament? Josh, we'll start with you. Try not to give it too much thought. Who's your gut feeling on this? We just spent the entire show talking about how competitive this is, how it's so unpredictable, but who are you seeing lifting the trophy next Sunday?
I think the point is that it's impossible to say with any certainty. At the start of the tournament, I would have said Durban. Mm. If I had to take a pure guess, I'm just going to say Sunrisers because they've been in 3 finals before and have won it twice.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with him. EC Sunrisers, EC.
It's a guess.
It's the former's doing too good. They've been too good.
With your orange, I'm a kip there. You very low key Sunrisers guy. Josh, we had a bit of a private side bet around because we're both JSK supporters, obviously, and you told me that DSG were going to be the team, and I said Sunrisers will eclipse them. So quite unexpectedly, they've got a full panel here. All 3 of us think the Sunrisers are going to win this.
Then watch JSK just pinch it at the end.
Or Paul, like
guys, that's the thing. It's so many different points here. Just to wrap up, obviously next Sunday, Shaz and I are going to be at the Betway SA20 final at Newlands. We're going to do a bit of a live show there. But in the lead up there, you have to get your tickets for the playoffs. SA20.co.za. tickets for the Kingsmead match, the Wanderers match, and the Centurion match. We've got the two qualifiers. We've got the Eliminator. It's just, it's going to be such a huge week of cricket next week, and you have to be a part of it in one way or another. Shaz, we are going this year, big announcement, back to weekly shows.
Yes, sir.
There's so much more sport coming to you. If you follow, obviously, On The Bounce on the social channels, you'll see a post that went out on Monday just to give you a sort of heads up about what's happening this year. It is, without doubt, I mean, every year we kind of find ways to say this, but this is probably the biggest sporting year when you consider right now we've got this, we've got the T20 World Cup, we've got the Winter Olympics, we have the world's biggest rugby year ever, rugby's greatest ever tour coming to SA, the All Blacks, we've got four tests, we've got the Nations Cup starting, we've got the Stormers doing well in the URC.
We've got Arsenal
running towards the quadruple.
We've got a FIFA World Cup. That's what he also wanted to say as well.
Guys, there is so much happening. This is the year. So we're going to go back to weekly shows. And the final thing I'll wrap up before we go is that we also asked you at the start of the year, like your sort of guest list for wish list, your wish list of guests.
Ooh.
Did so well there with English. Your best, like the guest that you really want to see, you know, like we just featured now, like, you know, Rudy is a guy that I would love to get onto the show. There's just so many cool people in SA doing amazing content. But whether it's your favorite content creator, whether it's your favorite sporting celeb, whatever it may be, just engage with us on our social posts or in the show comments right here. Let us know. And we're going to get a whole different sort of format coming in, maybe a little bit less studio time. Shaz and I are going to be on the road. And of course, getting guys like Josh in is always a huge privilege for us. And just to enhance the conversation as we go. So 2026 is going to be an absolute monster. Join us again next week at the final of the Betway SA20. Go get your tickets. Josh, great having you back.
Thanks, gents. It's always so cool chatting cricket with you.
Me too, because I always learn something when you're here. Yeah. And I think this ICC T20 World Cup after the SA20 is going to be such an amazing start to the year. And cricket is well and truly in our back, Shaz.
Yeah, 100%.
It is well and truly part of who we are as South Africans. Fanatically so. Yeah.
Who are you guys backing for the T20 World Cup, by the way?
India's in India.
I have to back the Proteas. It's just in my nature.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obviously backing them, but who are you going to win?
Who do you predict is going to win?
It's definitely going to be India.
Yeah, it has to be. Hey?
It has to be.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
But sport's a funny thing, and who knows what will happen. Catch us back next weekend, Sunday, or just follow us on all our social media channels because we're going to be putting a whole bunch of different content up there. Thanks for joining us for this one. Catch you back soon.
Everybody in Durban is here, and I think why not along with them and have a good time, bro?
The atmosphere, the vibe, this is where cricket comes alive.
I love it because there's atmosphere, there's vibes, there's friends, there's cricket. What more do you want? We'll be right back.